doesn't saving the soul in Scripture refer to eternal salvation? Well, that's a great question, and it's one we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I'm Luke's Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're currently doing questions and answers. You can get your questions answered by Bob and Sean by sending us an email at radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we are answering your questions. Here's a question from Wyatt. And Wyatt says...
Is he a Marshall?
I don't know if he is a
Wyatt
Marshall
Earp? Oh, no.
That's a good name. Yeah. Zane was almost a Wyatt.
Zane was almost a Wyatt?
Very close. Okay. It was Henry, Wyatt, or Zane, but we went with Zane.
Good.
In an article, Bob says, in none of the four uses outside of our passage is eternal salvation in view, and this has to do with James.
Mm-hmm.
Wyatt says, but the first usage of the word save connects the word to save your soul. How is that not referring to eternal salvation? So that's a common question. You know, when people hear save your soul, they immediately think this is eternal salvation. It's our souls, right? Our immortal souls that go on to be in heaven for all eternity.
All right, why don't you look up a verse for me while we're talking about this one? Look up, I think it's 1 Peter 3:21. It talks about Noah and the ark.
I believe you're thinking about 1 Peter 3:20.
20, okay.
Where he's talking about preaching the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient. When once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, so we're talking about the days of Noah, and we all know Noah's story, Noah
right.
and the ark. While the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. So there you have the word souls, and they're saved through water.
Okay, so what does that mean? What kind of salvation is Peter talking about?
Well, I think he's talking about they were saved from being destroyed in the flood, right?
Right.
They were saved physically from drowning in the water.
Right. And so Jody Dillo, in his book Reign of the Servant Kings, has a long discussion of the salvation of the psuche, the soul. In it, he talks about the fact that it never refers to being born again. It always refers to being saved from physical difficulties. And Jerry Patillo, who has been on the board of GES before and is a friend of this ministry, Jerry wrote his master's thesis at Dallas Seminary on the salvation of the psuche, the soul.
Wow. Yeah.
And he shows that term in both the Greek Old Testament and the Greek New Testament always refers to deliverance from either physical death or calamities in this life.
Now, this isn't even weird for English, right? Because especially if you like sailing or if you're part of the Navy and you say, let's say a ship is sinking and they sent out helicopters and other ships come to rescue the people. And we say 68 souls were saved and 42 souls were lost.
Exactly.
You're not reporting the results of a revival, right?
Right?
You're not saying who went to heaven and who went to hell. You're saying we saved these lives and these lives were lost.
By the way, you see the same thing, Acts 27, which is this nautical language, right, where Paul is on a sailboat and he says, if anyone leaves the ship, not one soul will be saved.
Oh, yeah.
Not one life will be saved.
So the answer, I guess, to Wyatt's question is, when you see soul, sometimes that just means life. It doesn't mean the immortal part of you that continues on after death. It just means your whole life.
Right. Let's see that in James 1:21. It says, therefore, and the word therefore always throws you back to what you've just read, right?
Right.
So going back to 19 and 20, so then, my beloved brethren, that's born again people, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That's the outline of the book. Swift to hear is chapters 1 and 2. Slow to speak is chapter 3. Slow to wrath is 4, 1 to 5, 6. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside. We're still talking to my beloved brethren.
Yeah.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word. The implanted word is not in unbelievers. The implanted word is the word which they have heard taught week in and week out in their local churches.
Okay.
And so it's become part of them. It's within them. And they're to receive it. That means apply it, which is able to save your souls. I would translate this, save your lives.
Right.
These are the lives of beloved brethren, okay. Lives of born-again people.
Well, here's the chance. So I understand, you know, if Noah's family got their lives were saved from the flood. I understand if a ship is sinking and you save those souls, that means that you're saving their lives from drowning in the water. What kind of salvation is this? What are they being saved from?
Okay, well, if we went through the whole context, we'd see it better. But look back to 1:15. He's using the illustration of birth, and he says, then when desire or lust has conceived, this is like the picture of birth. You first have conception, then birth.
Yep.
It gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, so now we've got sin growing up and becoming mature, it brings forth death.
Right.
And when I was at Dallas Seminary, one of my professors, also having the name Zane like your son, this professor said that this verse was kind of like a dealer in blackjack. And you know how you get two cards face down, and the dealer can give you more cards, but every one of them is face up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want another card, you say, hit me.
Okay.
And so this Zane Hodges, he said that basically what James is saying in James 1:15 is every new card you're getting is death. It's not 1, 2, 3, 4, 10, jack, king, queen. It's death, death, death. So how many more cards do you want? Because they're all death, death, death.
Now, why are we only getting death cards?
Because sin, he said, is death dealing. Sin produces death. The idea, and by the way, this is a neat principle found in Scripture, is that it's not normal for one sin to result in immediate physical death. Normally, sin has to become full grown before it produces death, so that only when the sins of a nation are filled up is that nation destroyed, and only when a person's sins are filled up is that person taken home if it's a believer or losing their life if it's an unbeliever. And so the point is that the salvation here is salvation from physical death. And by the way, there's one other use of the saving of the soul in James, and it's the very last two verses in the book. These are basically the opening verses in the body of the book. And then in James 5:19 and 20, would you read that?
Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. And I can imagine Wyatt saying, see, that's got to be eternal salvation again, right? You're saving a soul from eternal death.
Wrong, but that could be what he would say. You know, the Roman Catholic interpretation of this is if you help restore someone else, then you cover a multitude of your own sins.
Right, right.
You know, if you're helping others.
Shorten your time in purgatory. Maybe.
But lots of Protestants think that what this is saying is if you restore someone else, you save that other person from hell.
Right.
Well, wait a minute now. What would that make the condition of escaping hell? Well, then we'd have to stay on the straight and narrow, right?
Right, right.
So it'd be work salvation, right?
Right.
So we're almost back to the Roman Catholic interpretation, except the Catholic sees it as you're covering your own sins. This is covering somebody else's sins. But either way, it's work salvation. Dr. Charles Ryrie in the Ryrie Study Bible has a comment here, and he says this is talking about the sin unto death, which we find in 1 John chapter 5. And he's saying the soul should be understood as life here. So he says, brethren, if anyone among you, notice anyone among the brethren,
right.
This is a fellow believer, wanders right. from the truth. An unbeliever can't wander from the truth because they're not in the truth to start with.
Yeah.
And someone turns him back, that is turning the straying believer back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul or a life from death and will cover a multitude of sins, that is, of the one who is strayed. And so the point is that believers can rightly be called sinners. Now, some people say, well, it says here, who turns a sinner, and a believer is not a sinner. Well, yes, believers are sinners.
Right.
If we stray, then we're not only a sinner in the sense that we sin, but now we're a sinner in the sense that we have strayed. We are now out of fellowship with God. The saving of the soul is always in Scripture, saving from temporal judgment.
So what is he saying here? I mean, so if you leave the Christian church, you're probably going to die? I mean, what is he? Is God going to kill you? Or
that's a great question. You're on the path that leads to death. You're on the path that is dealing out death cards. What James is saying is the more you sin, the more your death is approaching. Now, it may be decades before God takes you home.
Right.
It may be years. But it could be a matter of weeks or days if you are in rebellion against God.
Yeah.
God will take your life. I remember I was just watching this story about Michael Jordan called The Last Dance, and in it they had a little episode about Len Bias. And Len Bias was the number one draft pick of the Boston Celtics. And when he was drafted number one overall, he celebrated by taking cocaine.
Mm.
And he died of a heart attack
that night. Oh, no.
Never played a day in the NBA, lost I don't know how many millions of dollars. And they said it was the first time he had ever done cocaine.
Oh.
I don't know if that's true, but either way, it resulted in his death.
But normally that doesn't happen.
Normally, right? It's a long process.
Yeah, the first time you get drunk, you don't die.
Not normally.
It's usually you develop that pattern. That death needs to sin needs to mature, right?
Right.
It needs to grow before it produces death.
That's the normative experience.
Right. Very interesting. And so what James is saying here is basically it's wisdom literature. Like in the book of Proverbs, there's a way of life and there's a way of death, and it's physical life and physical death. And he's saying here, listen, you can save a soul from that path of death.
Absolutely.
To life.
And you've talked about this, and I've talked about this before on this show, that James is wisdom literature. And by the way, that's not just us saying that. There's lots of commentators that point that out.
Oh, yeah, very, very. Yeah, those are very common, very common. Well, Wyatt, I hope that answers your question. Saving the soul doesn't always mean your immortal soul. In fact, the majority of the time, and perhaps even all of the time, it means saving your life from some type of judgment or danger or death in this life.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much for your questions. Keep on sending them to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to deal with the question, does God have emotions? I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.